And we're going to go to God's word today. I've been excited to preach God's word to you. I've been wrestling with this word all week. I believe it is a word for this season. And I want us all to stand just as we read the word of God for a moment. I know we've been standing for a bit for those of us who are in person. And I thank you for your commitment and your willingness to do so. But I promise you, I'm just going to read only two verses, and then you can take your seat. Here's what it says in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18 through 25, but just reading verses 18 through 19 right now. It says this: the birth of Jesus came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. I want to read it one more time. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. And just for the next few weeks, as we kind of go through this Christmas season, and we have a series of messages devoted to this season, I want to call today's message, "I Didn't See That Coming." I didn't see that coming. I want you to turn to the person that's next to you, because obviously y'all must have probably came together. And I want you to say, "I didn't see that coming. I didn't see that coming." Right in the chat, "I didn't see that coming." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Sunday. We get to gather online in person to worship. We thank you for all that you have done, all that you will do. I pray that you will speak to us through your word this morning. And I pray, God, that you will minister hope to us in this season of difficulty. God, we thank you that you're good, you are faithful. Lord, we ask that you would have your way in Jesus' name. And every person said amen. You can go to your seat. I didn't see that coming. And right now, family, if you're online, especially, I need you to go ahead and click the share button. So that way we can reach as many people for Jesus right now. Those of us who are in person, if you're on Facebook, you got a Facebook account, go ahead, pull out your phone right now. I already did it. I want you to share today's message so that way we can reach more people for Jesus. I didn't see that coming. Christmas season, as we are here, church family, is known as the Advent season in the church. The word Advent actually speaks of, translates in the Latin to the arrival or the coming of something or someone. And specifically in this season, it is a season where we celebrate the arrival and the birth of Jesus, the significance of this season. But it also causes us to look forward to the second advent of Jesus, or the second coming of Jesus, or when he will return back to this earth. So we look back while looking ahead. This Advent season, church family, is, and this Christmas season is significant because, number one, it's a season of joy. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but there's a lot of Christmas music and Christmas carols being played. My house, we started playing Christmas music the day after Halloween, November the 1st. That's when we started playing This Christmas. Some of y'all are like, "Pastor Edwin, that's too early." No, it is not. We celebrate all the time. But it's a season of joy. It's a season of celebration. We've been watching Christmas movies. We've been singing Christmas carols. You're seeing things decorated. You walk in here in the auditorium in the sanctuary. You see Christmas trees and you see wreaths up. And you may have walked in and you smelt those good old pine needles out there and those plants out there to have this Christmas aroma. But this Christmas season is also, I'd be willing to say this, also a season of despair and disappointment, which is something that we see here in this passage in Matthew chapter 1. Because here in Matthew chapter 1 follows the account of a young lady by the name of Mary, who was chosen by God to be the mother of Jesus on earth. She's also been told back in the book of Luke chapter 1 that she would be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. Mary did not plan on that happening. Mary was in the midst of planning a wedding. She was in the midst of watching HGTV, trying to figure out how her home was going to look. She was in the midst of thinking about her family with Joseph, who she had longed to marry. But then she gets this news from an angel telling her that God had chosen her and had graced her to give birth to the Messiah or the Savior of the world. And just as Mary got that news, she didn't see it coming. She heard this news from the angel. It's filled with mixed emotions, but the Bible says she eventually agrees to go along with God's plans. But now when we get to Matthew chapter 1, this is where the drama gets real. Because Joseph, the one that she's pledged to marry, she's engaged to in this season, Joseph now, the Bible says, discovers that she is pregnant. He finds out that she's pregnant. I want you to imagine the conversation that she and Joseph had. Could you imagine Mary going up to Joseph after she's had this encounter with an angel, telling her that she would give birth to the Messiah of the world? She has this encounter now with Joseph and goes to Joseph and says, "Hey, bae, I got something to tell you. What you got to tell me, boo? You know I love you. I'm pregnant, Joe." "Girl, stop playing. You ain't pregnant. We ain't got married, Mary, yet." "Girl, stop playing. You capping. Stop. You tripping. You ain't married." And then she looks at him like this. "No, Joe. I'm married. Or I'm pregnant, but I'm married too." And can you imagine Joe still in this moment like, "Oh, you for real? You like, for real, pregnant? But, babe, we haven't consummated our wedding night yet. How is this possible?" And can you imagine what Mary said? Joe, I know. It's so crazy. God appeared to me through the form of an angel. He sent one of his angels to tell me that I'll be pregnant with the Messiah. And can you imagine, Joe, who? Who? The Holy Spirit is going to impregnate the Holy who? Because they hadn't heard about the Holy Spirit yet. The Holy who? Mary. Come on, Mary. What you think, I'm a fool? Why are you trying to play me right now, Mary? No, Joe, I promise you, babe, I love you. Like, God spoke to me and he revealed himself to me. Mary. You tripping right now. God don't do stuff like that. But he does. Mary, listen, I want a divorce. Joseph is filled with all these emotions. Joseph is experiencing, I want you to write this down, take a screenshot of it. He's experiencing what I think many of us can identify with, which is this, a time of interruption. Joseph's plans have been interrupted. Joseph was planning on having his wedding. Joseph is planning on being married to Mary. And in this real moment of confusion and disappointment, and probably more than anything else, shock, I want you to imagine for this moment what Joseph is feeling. After finding out that she's pregnant, because on the surface, it looks like that Mary has been unfaithful, that in the words of Jada Pinkett Smith, there has been some entanglements. Entanglements. Could you imagine Joseph with the Will Smith face? Joseph is in shock, fam. He can't believe it. He's distraught. It's probably mixed emotions, feelings of anger, feelings of betrayal, feelings of sadness, feelings of disappointment. I want us to realize this is not a trivial moment. This is a real moment. And I want you to imagine the emotional roller coaster that Joseph has been on. He's gone from planning a wedding to now planning a divorce. His plans have been interrupted. And I think we can say that more than likely, Joseph arguably is having the most difficult time in his life, and he never saw it coming. He didn't see this coming. Joseph has been blindsided. Could you imagine what Joseph is thinking? "Hold on, God. This ain't what I expected. I didn't expect to get this news. I didn't expect to have to end my marriage before it would even start. I didn't expect to have to potentially be the talk of the city. I didn't expect for my broken relationship possibly to go viral all over the city and all online. I didn't plan for this. I didn't expect this. I didn't see this coming." And I want to ask us a question today, family. I just want you to be real, and I think I know what the answer to this question is going to be. But have you been in a moment this year where you have said and felt, "I didn't see it coming. Let me just by show of hands, how many of y'all have experienced, because I can't see your faces because you got masks on, right? I didn't see this coming. The complexities of life, I didn't see it coming. The way of life has been interrupted. I didn't see it coming. I believe we can identify with Joseph, especially this year, because there are so many things this year that we did not see coming. We didn't see a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic coming, shutting the whole world down. We didn't see losses coming the way that they did. We didn't see difficulties coming the way that they did. We didn't see the sickness that we're wrestling with coming the way that it did. We didn't see it. We have lived in a year where so much has happened that we didn't see coming. And I believe that it's in these times, family, if we could be real, I know I felt it. There's been many times this year where you just feel like giving up. There's been many times where you just feel like quitting. There's been many times where you just feel like throwing in the towel because of the multiple disappointments that you have faced and that you have experienced all year long. This year, let's just be real, family, has blindsided all of us. Can I get a good amen? Amen. Blindsided. And some of you right now are feeling the weight of it more than others, even in this season. It's hard for you to even be excited about this Christmas season like normal because of all the things that you've gone through, because of the loved one who won't be at the table this year, that passed away a few months ago. It's hard this year. The wound caused by someone that you're still struggling to forgive, it's hard. How about the end of the year? Things that you were hoping would have happened by now have not happened by now. You got your hopes up only for things to not work out and for things to come crashing down. You didn't get the job that you wanted. Graduation didn't happen the way that you wanted this year. You didn't get the promotion that you were hoping to be able to get. You didn't get what you asked for. None of this you saw coming. And Joseph is saying, I'm right there with you. I feel your pain. Because I didn't see it coming either. And maybe some of you are like him right now, where you just want to abort, throw in the towel, throw everything away because you've been blindsided by 2020. I know I have said multiple times, especially about June, July, can we just throw 2020 away? Am I the only one that said that? Or did somebody else say that too? Oh, y'all want to be holy in here because y'all came to service today. Lord, can we just fast forward to 2021? But who's to say 2021 might be different than 2020? Lord, can we get back to normal? Can we get back to the way it used to be? Can we get back to it? Can we get back to a place where we don't have to wear a mask to come into church and go through all these protocols just for people to come in? Can we just get back to the fact where we can just, quote unquote, be safe again? Can we just get back to the way things used to be, and many of us have faced that. You just want to throw away this whole thing. I feel you. And I want you to understand something, and I want you to write this down. Abandonment becomes tempting in times of disappointment. That in our times of disappointment, that's where the temptation of abandonment comes in like never before. When expectations haven't been met, that's the time when we're tempted by the enemy the most to just throw in the towel. To just quit, to just give up. But I want you to look at verse 20. Verse 20 says this: but after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. I want you to see the first two words of verse 20. But after, everybody say but after, even with your mask on, say but after. But after, and I hear God saying to some of you today, don't give up yet. Don't quit yet. Don't abort yet, because there is a but after moment that I have for you to experience today. I thought I would get a few more amens to that right there. There is a but after moment after your moment of disappointment. There is a but after moment after the difficulty that you've experienced. There is a but after moment after the letdown that you've experienced this year. God says, hold on, story's not done. I know verse 18 and verse 19 of your life look crazy, but I got a verse 20 for your life too. That in the midst of all that you've experienced this year, I still got something I want to do. I hear God saying to some of you who are here right now and those of us who are watching online, I'm not done yet. If you still got a pulse, you got a purpose. I'm not done yet. It's not over yet. You're not done yet. You still got a purpose. You still got a calling. God still has great things for you in store. And he wants us to understand this, that yes, there has been a time of interruption in Joseph's life and also in our life. But just as there is a time of interruption, God brings forth, write this down, a time of intervention. I know this whole life of ours has been interrupted all this year, and it has not gone the way that we wanted to go. But God says, it is in some of the darkest moments where I do some of my best work. It is in some of your most troubling moments where I do some of the greatest miracles. You know, we like to, let me just say it like this. We like to celebrate stories like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But in order for them to see God in the fiery furnace, it meant they had to go through the furnace. In order for God to be able to reveal himself as a protector, Daniel had to go through what he went through. And I hear God saying to many of us in here today, I've allowed you to go through some of this stuff, not because I don't love you, but because I love you, and I want to show you a side of myself that you've never seen before. I want to intervene in your life. I want to show up and do something great in your life. Verse 20, but after he had considered these things, what things? A divorce. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And notice what the angel says. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. God shows up in the life of Joseph by sending an angel. In other words, it took divine intervention to keep Joseph from quitting on the plans of God. And I believe, if I were to take inventory of all of us in here, in this room, and watching online right now, and ask, has God showed up at any moment in your life this year when you wanted to give up? I believe all of us would be able to say, absolutely. When it got dark, he showed up. When I wanted to quit, he showed up. When I wanted to throw in the towel, he showed up. And he made a way out of no way. Here's a key truth I want you to understand about God. He is good. He is faithful, but as a result of this broken world that we live in due to sin, bad things do happen. He does allow things to happen, but here's the good news, family. If he allows it, he's using it. I'm gonna say it again because I don't know if y'all got it. Maybe y'all got it online. If he allows it, he's using it. If he allowed it, he's gonna use it. If he allowed the pain, there's a purpose somewhere in there. That's why the Bible says in Romans 8:28, for we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who have been called according to his purpose. He's got a purpose. And I know you can't see it right now. And I know things are happening right now in a way that you didn't expect. But God says, I'm still working. I'm using it for my glory, and I'm also using it for your good. And that's what's happening here. Because through what appears to be a tragic, ugly, disruptive type of moment in Joseph's life, it is actually divine intervention. Because God is using this moment to bring forth his good and perfect purpose in sending Jesus, the eternal Son of God, down the chambers of generation upon generation, landing upon Joseph and Mary to bring about salvation through the whole world and for the whole world. I want you to understand something. If you're in the middle of a painful moment right now, God is going to bring forth some purpose through your pain. He's going to bring forth purpose through the ugliness. He's going to bring forth purpose through the trauma. And I don't know about you, but there's been moments this year where I've said this exact phrase, and I think I'm not alone. It's going to take an act of God for this to change. Have y'all said that at all this year? I think I got like one or two people here. It's going to take a move of God. And didn't God move? Didn't God show up? Some of y'all lost jobs in the beginning of this pandemic, and you said, it's going to take a move of God for me to still stay afloat. And here you are, December the 6th, 2020, and God carries you from March to December because God is faithful. He's good. And right before you're about to give up, God stepped in. And God has a strange way showing up in our most difficult moments. I don't know if you're like me. Sometimes I have real moments with God. I'm like, God, why you gotta always wait till it get bad? Am I alone or I got good company here? He may not show up when you want him, but he's always on. Sometimes I don't need you to be on time. I need you to be early. Oh, y'all want to be real with your pastor today. God, do you have to show up when the bill's due? Can you show up a month before so I can plan? But if I did that, you wouldn't have faith in me. You would have thought that you did it. And what I've realized in 35 years of living, God will wait until the last moment. He will wait for us to almost get to the end of ourselves to show up, so that way we know without a shadow of a doubt that it was not by power nor by might, but it is only by the Spirit of the living God. He does it. And he does it in the most darkest moments. And through this year, though this year has been interrupted, I want you to know something, family. God is still moving. God is still speaking. God is still giving vision and revelation. I believe, family, there are things right now that God has been showing you in this season that you've never seen before. I believe many of you are seeing a side of God that you never have seen and you would have never seen had he allowed you to go through this year. I believe that God is giving vision for things like businesses and callings on the inside of you, all for his glory and for the good of you and for the good of others. I believe that this year, just as God showed up to Joseph and gave him a revelation of something greater that he had in mind, even though Joseph didn't initially see it, I believe that God has greater for you right now. I believe that God is calling some of you to take steps of faith in this season. I believe that God is calling you to go reconcile with people in this season. I believe that God is saying, I am giving you a vision in a way that I've never given you one before. I'm calling you to do something that you've never done before. That in our most difficult moments, it's often where God reveals the most. And I want you to look at what verse 22 through 23 says. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. All of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophets. I want you to stay with me right here, family, and Kadeem, you can come on up, man. All of this took place to fulfill what God had spoken through the prophets. All of this, everybody say all of this. All of what, Pastor Edwin? All the drama, all the difficulty, all the pain, all the ugliness, all of this took place to fulfill the plans and the purposes of God. And oftentimes we think that our blessings are always going to be nice and wrapped up like they came from Target or Walmart or Hallmark. But sometimes God's blessings and God's plans and God's promises are wrapped up in the pains of life. Sometimes the plan and the purposes of God, it is like the diamond that's in the rough, that on the surface it looks like there's nothing there. But beneath the surface, if you keep digging and digging and digging and being faithful, that eventually you will see the beautiful gem called the plan of God. And many of this season, we've experienced all these interruptions, but God is saying, no. I know this, none of this is accidental. None of this is coincidental. I knew everything that would happen this year. This pandemic has caught everybody by surprise. It didn't catch me off surprise. You didn't see this coming. Your friends didn't see this coming. Your pastor didn't see this coming. But I saw it coming. And I hear God saying, if I saw it coming, then clearly I got a plan for it. Clearly, I got a purpose in it. And look at the second part of verse 23. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to as a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. God is with us. And as I was preparing this message this week, in the past 9 months, it was probably the most difficult time to prepare a message. And I believe that most of it was probably attributed to the fact that many of us, all of us, are carrying a weight right now. And we maybe haven't said this out publicly and verbally, but I think maybe we've said this in our heart. I don't know if God is with me, because it doesn't feel like it. I feel like Joseph right now, verse 18 and 19. I don't know if he's with me. But all this took place to fulfill the words of the prophet that there will be a child and his name will be Emmanuel, to show that God is with us. And this is good news for all of us today, family. Because it means this: you may not have seen this year coming, but God did, and he's with you. You may not have saw the loss happening this year. We've lost family members in our own family. It has been hard not being able to see family members when they pass away. It has been hard having to go see family members in a hospital with a hazmat suit on and not being able to care the way you normally would care. And it's in those moments where you're asking God, are you really with me? And I hear God speaking to us saying, well, I am with you in this moment. I've been with you through the high moments, and I've been with you through the low moments. I was with you pre-pandemic, and I'm with you in this pandemic. And I will be with you after this pandemic. There's not a single place that you can go to ever get away from my loving presence. There's not a single place that you could ever go. There's not a single affliction that you could ever experience. It calls you to not allow me to be close to you. And many of you have experienced disappointments, and you didn't see it coming, but God did, and he's with you. Some of you lost your job, but God knew it, and he's been with you. Some of your marriages were literally like Joseph's and Mary's, on the brink of a divorce. You didn't see it coming. God did, and he's with you. You didn't see the sickness taking over your body the way it did. It blindsided you. You didn't see it coming. God did, and he says, I'm with you. And there's a word that I want you to realize today, family. It's that God is with you. I know you felt alone during the season. People that you thought you could depend on all of a sudden went ghost on you. God says, I'm with you, though. People that you thought you could depend on abandoned you. But God says, I'm with you. Is this helping anybody this morning? In the midst of the pain, God says, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. It's been ugly, but I'm with you. It's been ugly, it's been bad, it's been traumatic, but I'm with you. I'm with you. I need somebody to say it to themselves. He's with me. He's with me. Come on, say it. He's with me. I want you to say it so you can believe it. He's with me. He's with me through the highs. He's with me through the lows. He's with me. And had it not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? I would have been 6 feet deep by now. I would have been pulled the trigger on my life by now. But God has been with me, and God has been keeping me, and God has been loving me, and God has been gracious to me, and God has been kind to me. He's with me. I'm going to ask us to stand to our feet in this moment. I'm praying specifically for those of us right now, you didn't see the blind side happening. You got blitzed. Didn't see it coming. In football terms, it's a particular position on the offensive line. Sole responsibility is to keep the quarterback from getting blindsided. But no matter how great that offensive lineman is, there comes moments where they can't stop what's coming. And in those moments of being blindsided, it's easy to begin to think that you're alone. Some of us have asked God, why did you allow this to happen? I got blindsided. I thought you were going to be there to prevent this from happening to me. Maybe you're not as powerful as I thought. Maybe you're not as strong as I thought. And God is like, no, 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 I am. But the proof of my power is not if I can protect you from bad things happening, but oftentimes the proof of my power is that I can preserve you through it. And many of us have been blitzed this year, and you've been blindsided. But through it all, God has preserved you. God has been with you. God has covered you. God has kept you. I hear what the Bible says, that he is an ever-present help in a time of trouble. And right now, family, if you are in a time of trouble, I want you to know that God is with you. If you are going through depression right now, I want you to know that God is with you. If you're struggling right now with mental health things, I want you to understand that God is with you. If you're struggling financially right now, I want you to know that God is with you. And though you didn't see it coming, he did. I'm going to ask us just with heads bowed and eyes closed in this moment. I believe that God's been trying to speak to your heart for months. Some of you have tuned him out. Some of you haven't read your Bible in months. Watching online, haven't read it in months. Not because you don't love God, but because you got blindsided. And it threw off your rhythm. And it threw you out of balance. And it knocked you off your feet. But I hear God saying today, today is the day of restoration. Today is the day where I'm going to make things new. Today is the day where I'm going to renew them. I believe that today is the day, beginning this Christmas season, where God says, you don't have to be afraid any longer. You don't have to wonder if I'm with you. I am. I am that I am. I am an ever-present help in a time of trouble. I am the manna from heaven. I am your provision. I am the source of your strength. I am your comforter. I am your provider. I am your protector. I am everything that you need. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this place watching online who have been wrestling in this season, who have been interrupted. This experience, a time of interruptions, I pray in the name of Jesus that this now is a time of intervention, where you're showing up, where you're opening up doors, where you're doing new things. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, where you're answering prayers that we've been praying since March. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you're bringing forth healing to sick family and friends right now. I pray that you would minister hope to us. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Worship team, you guys can come on back up. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're in this moment and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, during this season, I have drifted from God. I have fallen short. I've made mistakes. I've gone to websites I shouldn't have gone to. I did things I shouldn't have done. I fell off track. I drifted from Jesus. But today I want to come back home. Today I want to come back to Jesus. Today I want to renew my commitment to Jesus. Today I want to receive Jesus for the first time. If that's you, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose back to life to give me life. Life more abundantly. Jesus, would you be my Lord? Jesus, would you be my Savior? In your name I pray.
Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together. Come on, I need us to do better than that. Come on. If you know that God is with you, if you know that God is faithful, if you know that God is good, we're going to go back into a time of worship, and then we're going to close our service. Come on, let's worship.